Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I got glasses. And I think I went probably a good decade or so without ever cleaning them. I don't know. I just never felt up to it, and so I didn't do it. And honestly, I think I got really used to looking through dirty lenses until I started cleaning them more often, and I recognized it makes a significant difference. Who knew? And now I'm almost obsessed with having the lenses of my glasses be clean. I can notice when just a little something is distorted or blocking my clear vision. Your eyes have a thick film over them, clouded with sin. Instead of looking clearly at your God and noticing His real presence among you, you're distracted by all of the things that you've placed in front of Him, seeing Him through the clouded eyes of your idols. That's what we call these things that we create, idols. Idols are not just statues or icons. Idols are items that we create in which we put our hope and our trust, in which we try to find our purpose and our value. It's an age-old sin of people. We're just simply not content with the things of God. And we feel the need to do something just a little bit different. His desires are not fully our desires. His ways are not fully our ways. Again, it's the age-old problem of sinful people. It was the same for the people of Israel. It was because of their idol worship that God cast them out of the promised land into Babylonian exile. And while in Babylonian exile, most of God's people got wrapped up in the idol worship of the Babylonian culture, bowing down to their gods and to their idols and to their cultural norms. And so it is with you as well. We're wrapped up in worshiping the gods of your culture, the idols of American success. Your eyes are clouded with the endless pursuit of happiness. Your vision is blocked, thinking that your financial success is going to be your big break. You think for sure that your next promotion is going to make things perfect. You believe that if you get your kids in all of the right activities, that their status and yours will be set. You wear your badge of busyness like a badge of honor, worn proudly so that your peers think that you are important. You're making gods out of things that are not gods, and that to which your heart clings and entrusts itself is, I say, your God. Idol worship is a fruitless endeavor. It leads to nothing good. Actually, in the Bible, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the words that are used to describe idol worship describe it like this: idols are pain. Idols are nothing. Idols lead to nothing except for chaos and disorder. I think you know this. I think you know that when you pursue anything apart from God, or pursue anything prior to your pursuit of following Jesus, that it causes pain, that it is nothing, and that it just leads to chaos and disorder. And when you do that, you do not see God clearly. particularly you don't see that God is the one calling to you, calling you out from your sinful behavior and into his light. Now, why are we talking about idol worship? Well, because these are the kind of people that God is calling out to in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, when he says to them, "Behold your God." The word behold means to look upon him. Put your eyes upon him. Look and see your God. Isaiah is calling out to these people who are wrapped up in idol worship and the cultural norms of Babylonian captivity. And he's saying, behold your God. Clean your glasses. Do you see him? Turn from your idols and receive God. Those of you who have been with us the last 3 weeks, Isaiah's telling them, again, all of these things we've been reading in Isaiah chapter 40, reminding them of the good news. Do you not see that God is the one coming to bring you double comfort? God is coming to give you double forgiveness, double blessing. God is breaking a way into your life. Are you prepared to receive him? See his glory in your life. Isaiah has told them all of these things. Look, behold your God. He's coming with might. He's coming to rescue you. Look, behold. He's coming to save you, to redeem you. Look. Look nowhere else. Behold your God. God is calling out to these sinful people. God is calling out to these broken people. God is calling out to these exiled people. And he's calling them out for a purpose. He says, get up on a high mountain, O Zion. It's another name for the people of God. Get up on a high mountain, O herald of good news. Lift up your voice. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. He's calling them out for a purpose, to get up on a high mountain and proclaim the good news of salvation without fear. But does it seem odd to you that these are the kind of people that God would choose to be messengers of good news? These kind of people? It might surprise you, it might seem odd, but it probably shouldn't. Because this is the consistent gospel message that pervades the entirety of the Bible. Throughout the Bible, Yahweh, God is the one that is consistently calling out to sinful, broken, exiled people. These are the kind of people that God chooses and God uses, because they are the kind of people that God has come to save. And this is the kind of person that Jesus even became himself, minus the sin. But Jesus, rejected, wounded, broken, crucified like a common criminal. Last week, I was speaking to a man who's recently surrendered his entire life to Jesus. He had been a man who his whole life had adamantly fought against the presence of Jesus, building all kinds of idols in his life, most clearly the idol of work and money, diving deeper and deeper headlong in these pursuits until everything fell apart. Now, at this point, I can't tell you much about the details of this man's story, but believe me, this man's life is not in a good place according to worldly standards. And it's probably not going to get much better. But he told me that he has repented of his sins and clinging to Jesus. But if you saw the mess that he's in, you might say his life is as good as over. However, what he proclaims is a different message. Because he said, I know that Jesus is with me. I know he forgives me. His presence gives me peace. And he told me, even if my life situation doesn't improve, which it probably won't, I know God has a purpose for me. He has redeemed me for a purpose to make his good news known to people living in a similar mess. It's the age-old gospel message. It's the age-old gospel message that God calls out to people in a mess to redeem them. And it is what Isaiah is delivering to the people of Zion. Zion, the people of God living in exile because of their sin, lying in ruins, mourning the fact that it feels like God has left them. Isaiah is calling out to them, you will be restored, restored for a purpose. Get up on a high mountain and tell the world of the good news of salvation. It's Yahweh telling Zion not what she is at the moment, but what she will become. This is what God always does for his people. God tells you not what you are, but what you will become. God looks at you and he sees you for who you will be because of what he's done for you. He already sees you as restored. He already calls you beloved and holy and righteous. You, right now, you, he calls these things. He sees the potential in you. The potential in you before you even consider cleaning off your glasses. Because he's the one who created you and he's the one working redemption and restoration in you. He's breaking you free from your pitiful idols. He's cleaning your eyes to see him clearly. Behold your God. Behold his presence among you. Jesus has already saved you. Jesus already died for you. Jesus already rose for you. And Jesus is coming back for you. He is the one who's changing you by the transforming power of his grace alone. And it is a transforming grace that God has. And God transforms people by his grace for his purpose. It's what he's telling Zion. Yahweh's transforming grace and commission to Zion here that we read in Isaiah 40. It's a foreshadowing of his plan for the Christian church today. In the New Testament, the Christian church is called Zion, the Zion for our present age. The church is the fulfillment of these prophecies. See, our responsibility in the church, our job in the church is not to pose as some seeker after a higher truth. We're not here to kind of just conjure up ideas and think and feel our way to God. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to clearly, firmly, positively lift up our voices that the message of Jesus is true and to boldly declare it to a world that doesn't want to hear it. The church must be vigorously evangelistic. Hesitation and timidity and trembling are out of place in the church. We must boldly announce the good news of salvation in Jesus. Behold your God. Jesus is alive and Jesus is here. As Martin Luther once said, this is the gist of your preaching. Behold your God. Behold your God, promote your God, his mercy and grace alone. Preach Jesus alone. I'm not the only preacher in this room. I'm not talking about Pastor Kevin either. You are all preachers of the good news. Preachers in your own right, in your own lives, to the lives of those who have been entrusted to your care. So clean your glasses, clean your eyes, see clearly the salvation that Jesus has brought into your life. And then get up on a high mountain without fear and proclaim that Jesus is here to save you and the world from its sins. This is the good news that you have received, that Jesus can save someone even like you. That's the good news you've received. That's the good news you have to give. And God can and will use you even in your lowly state, even in your depravity, even in your sickness, even if you're in the hospital, even while you are breathing your last, dying. You are to tell the world of the good news of salvation, that God can save people like you. It is not your circumstances that determine your purpose. It is Jesus Christ. Clean your glasses. See clearly the God who has come for you. He's with you. He has not abandoned you. And Isaiah tells us that in verse 11. As he describes this God as a gentle shepherd who is tending to you, gathering you in his arms, carrying you and gently leading you where you are to go. Your God goes before you, he comes after you, he's in you, he's all around you. And so he comes to you today, even in your sin, even in your brokenness. Yes, you, to proclaim salvation to those who are living in that darkness, to proclaim salvation to those who are clinging to the idols of this life, to tell them you don't need that. All you need is to behold your God who has come for you. This world is desperately in need of a Savior. Go and tell them the good news that they have one. Behold your God. In Jesus' name, amen.